The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And the second half of the program is live. Like, what else would it be? Great to have all of you with us. Matt Stinchcomb here. And Matt, Aggie fans are calling in. They're trying to figure out what is wrong. What is wrong?
There's not a lot right on offense, that's for sure. I mean you've won games, so that's okay. They've got issues. There's no two ways about it. And it goes beyond, I think, just the quarterback position. You know, when you look at that game the other day, it didn't look great before Haynes King became injured. But the four new faces on the offensive front, and including Green, frankly, really, that performance would be concerning, and I'd be shocked. You know, we've heard Jimbo Fisher, I think, 2 weeks in a row now say, you know, there's some issues, we got to get cleaned up. A lot of this is on me. That's coach speak for get your minds right, because when Tuesday comes around, and probably Monday too, it's going to get very, very real. We're going to find out. We happen to have them Saturday. That's one of my questions for Coach Fisher is, what's it been like? So has practice and preparation changed? Has there been a hard reset? Because when you look at the mistakes that are happening, and by mistakes I mean blown assignments, not just physical errors, like, we got some new guys in there, I had a freshman in there at center. There's going to be some growing pains. You're facing a Power 5 opponent in Colorado, albeit nothing like what you're going to see as the season unfolds. So some of those guys are going to be behind the curve physically. There's a reason why they weren't starting before, and it's not just on the offensive front. You know, Jalen Weidermeyer, who in the box score seemingly had a pretty good game and had some key catches, in the run game and in protection, he's got to play a lot better than he did the other night. And receivers have to step up. They played a lot of man coverage, did Colorado, and they could not get separation. There's a lot of question marks in this A&M offense to give you pause. The good news is that defense looks legit. It looks, you know, Georgia-esque. If Georgia's thought to be a bar this year defensively, they look really good. They're built differently, of course. They're structured differently in their defense. They've got a really good defense. They've got some wood to chop on offense.
Just to try to get some context here, you know, they play this game against Colorado. They barely get out of there. They're on the road, but, you know, they're really not on the road. They're in a neutral – well, it's not a neutral site, but it's not a home stadium. So I don't think that's a big factor. My question to you is, if Colorado was in the SEC, where would they rank? Where would you have them?
They wouldn't be real high, Paul. This is not a good proxy.
We're talking about second division.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're talking about a team now. So I say Power 5. It's a Pac-12 team. Nobody in this part of the country, including me, really have a real great awareness of that because I'm asleep when they play.
Sure.
But by the time I wake up and I see what happened and great, they won or lost, and I don't pay much attention to them. You put them in the SEC and you look at that roster, and they've got some good players. They had a couple of nice front seven players in that game. They aren't going to be a good substitute to give you an idea of what you're going to look like when you are lining up against the balance of your SEC West schedule and including your crossover games. It's concerning. And so they can improve. They have to improve.
I mean, of the seven SEC West schools, would they be picked to finish seventh?
Colorado?
Yeah.
I mean, based on what I've seen, I'd put them close to that. You know, maybe it's six, depending on which Mississippi State you get that week, right? But to me, it's not a team that's contending for a division. And coming into the season on the heels of last year, if you're A&M, you're going, hey, now we're starting to catch our stride. Last year we got host. We're the first one out. We're sitting just outside the college football playoff. And the rankings have kind of reflected that expectation. And then you play the way that you did. And look, it is a shock to the system to lose your quarterback. There's no doubt.
Sure.
The concern is the performance of all the other players around that quarterback, where you're going, this is where you rally. This is where a really good team says, new face in the huddle. This guy's got the ball in his hands. We got to up our game. And it could not come at a poorer time, in that you've got four new faces up front. You've got those known commodities in the backfield. But those guys aren't handing it, tossing it, and throwing it to themselves. And I doubt that they're going to go to the direct snap. So it's one of those things where you're going to find out just how good your depth was. You're going to find out just how good your recruiting has been in your development. And they got to figure it out in short order.
So, I mean, fans out there, rightly or wrongly, and probably wrongly, have been obsessed with the October 9th matchup to Alabama. But you look at the schedule, and you have Mississippi State and Arkansas before that.
Arkansas? So now, if you're an A&M fan, you should be pretty puckered right about now. I mean, you really should. I mean, there was a lot of chirping around, you know, coming into the season. And when Texas came in, I think some Arkansas tweets came out kind of dunking on A&M. And A&M points out the string of victories that they have over Arkansas. Well, you know, right now, Arkansas has got substantial momentum. I think that's inarguable. But A&M right now, with a reset at quarterback, and there's opportunity to get better, there's no doubt, because you think those number one reps have been going to Haynes King, and obviously there's only so many of those practice reps to go around. That's going to compromise how you play. We saw how Aaron Rodgers played the other night. He's one of the best to ever do it. He needs practice. Sure. You need practice in an offense. But that said, you got to get right, and you got to get right soon. You can't wait till October. You can't wait till that Alabama game. Because now a team that perhaps you've been dragging around, leading around by the nose in the SEC West in Arkansas, you know, now all of a sudden they're believing that maybe they're better than they actually are. That you could see that kind of pendulum swinging starting last year. You know, A&M, they've got some fixing to do. This is a good opportunity this week versus a former SEC quarterback, Terry Wilson, a guy that got beat down in his last trip to College Station when he was with Kentucky. He's a quarterback at New Mexico, and this is a chance for them to try to find a way to get right, especially on that offensive side of the ball.
Talking to Matt Sinchka, there's 1,000 different directions, but Matt, you're concerned about them. I want to stay on that because who else are you concerned about in the SEC right now?
You know, I think you should be. I'm concerned about LSU in that, and I'm hearkening back to week one. Last week was better. Last week had to be better. Last week shouldn't have been anything other than better versus McNeese State. But partly it's because I was kind of high on LSU coming into the season where I thought this team could really break for the better. I've got concerns around LSU. Partly that's just a function of, you know, you're guaranteed to be playing Florida every year. Florida, even though they kind of got this double-minded approach to quarterback, so to speak, it's worked. It can work versus the schedule that they face so far. There's concern around that, I think. You know, in the East, are there any teams, I think, that you had such high enough expectation that to date you're going, I don't really know. After week one offensively for Georgia, you know, maybe. But there's enough context there where you're sitting there going, look, new faces at receiver. This is supposed to be an elite defense. And maybe it isn't. We'll find out. It's early yet. I wouldn't say concerned, though. And that was a good second game with – what was a third-string quarterback in Stetson Bennett versus a team that, again, is not a proxy for an SEC team, but it also wasn't a patsy in UAB.
Legitimate.
And you beat them soundly. So you beat them the way you're supposed to beat them, if, in fact, you're an elite team. I don't know that there's concern there. You know, this week, I think after this week, Paul, when Alabama goes to Gainesville and does what I think most will anticipate that they will do, I think the line's at 16 points right now, maybe it gets to that late in the game. You know, maybe Florida climbs back into it to make it closer. I don't know that it'll be that close. What does Florida look like coming out of a game like
right.
that? I might have concerns surrounding that, especially knowing that you still haven't, even though you've got a role for Richardson. What does that do to your quarterback as a starter in Emory Jones, knowing that those guys are pretty similar in that
on
they
that
can both
question
run.
Because that's the cliche question around the country, what should Dan Mullen do? And you could tell he did not like the question, but what should he do?
I think you pick a horse. I really do. I've always kind of felt that way. Unless you've got guys that are so distinct in what it is that they bring to the offense, and we've seen that before, to where it's complementary, where you've got a thrower and you got a passer. It's Chris Leak, it's Tim Tebow. Florida's
right.
seen this before, and I don't know that they're distinct enough, frankly. I mean, we've seen Richardson rip off some really nice runs. We've also seen him make a couple of really nice passes. Emory Jones had some beautiful throws on Saturday. Emory Jones can run. So are their styles exactly the same? Not necessarily. To me, I think, just for the team, and it doesn't have to work this way, you have to establish who your guy is going to be and let him play his way out of it. Maybe you don't let him play that long out of it, but you let him play his way out of it. Florida fans shouldn't be concerned. You know, you had a coach in Steve Spurrier that would rotate quarterbacks every other snap, not even every other series, for crying out loud.
Absolutely.
And he made it work. So it's absolutely possible. But if you had your druthers, every coach that says, we got a dual quarterback system. Oh, we don't have just one quarterback. Trust me, they wish they did. They wish they had that one guy. I want a nice backup, but I want my guy that I can count on.
Final question on that. So Emory Jones starts. How short is the leash?
I don't know that the way he's doing it right now, if he doesn't continue doing it this way, where, you know, hey, Anthony, you're going to get series number three.
Okay.
Regardless of what the situation is. And maybe, you know, we're coming off our two-yard line, perhaps. So now all of a sudden, Emory's going to get back out there. You get in the next possession. I don't know that he departs from that. I don't know that this is the game that you choose to depart from that. Have we seen anything to date in game that says, you know what, it needs to be this guy? Other than getting more reps in Emory Jones, I don't know that he will. I think he would like to have been able to by now.
Right.
And this is a heck of an opponent to start trying to make hard decisions at quarterback.
This game will move pretty quickly.
I would agree.
Great to see you. Matt Stinchcomb later on SEC Now. Always good to have him drop by. We will continue this conversation with you at 855-242-7285. Back with more after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Corky in Fort Worth. Hello, Corky.
Hey, Paul, what's up?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I had a question. I don't think Georgia will struggle against South Carolina, but for instance, say JT Daniels has a bad outing, like real bad. Do you think he'll get pulled for Stetson Bennett after what Bennett did the other day? Anytime during the season?
I don't know. I think he is clearly established as the starter. And, you know, Stetson came in well and did a good job. But from what I've seen of Stetson Bennett, I don't think there's too many dog fans that want to see him in Jacksonville as the starter.
Right. I have another question for you, too. Remember, I'm already 2-0 with my take it to the bank picks. I know there's some crazy ones. But I got one more for you, and that's Florida this week.
Oh, really? What are you predicting?
I'm predicting 30-24, the Gators. I know that sounds crazy, but remember I told you they're going to lose two games this year, and that's one of them.
Well, can you give me some reason to support your prediction?
Yes, sir. I really think Florida offense is a little too much for Alabama defense. They're fast, but I think Florida actually have a fast deep offense that's going to give Alabama fits in the secondary, and that quarterback is not going to stay still. And I know it is sound funny, but Bama is starting to lose people and get people hurt, and it's going to start to show up sooner than later.
Okay.
Well, you're not crazy.
It's a minority opinion. I will say that. Hey, thanks for the call. Foghorn is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Paul, do you really think anyone wants to play Arkansas right now?
No. Why would you? I mean, unless you like getting black and blue.
Right. There's a song I wish your producers would look up. They used to play it on the radio in Little Rock when I was a kid in the 60s during the week of the Texas game. It's called Short Squash Texan. And I would love to hear some of that on one of the interludes on your show.
Well, I will. I'll see if we can get that done. Hey, thanks, Foghorn. Appreciate the call. How about John in California? Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. It's been a while. I don't know if you remember me. You used to joke with me about me driving on the 405. How you doing?
I do. Well, great to hear from you.
Well, my wife has been going through cancer, Paul, so that's why I haven't been proactive with anything in the last year and a half. But we're fighting through it.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear that, but I wish both of you all the best. I know it's not easy, but please have our best wishes and prayers.
Thank you, sir. Paul, I heard you this morning on SportsCenter, and they should call you the ghost, the quarterback whisperer, because I was perplexed on the conversation you had with your guest speaker just now, because you mentioned something this morning that I agreed on, and I said, I got to call Paul and discuss this with him. The same thing happened with Felipe Franks. He kept riding Felipe Franks, and Felipe Franks was terrible. I mean, he had some good games, but you look for consistency in a quarterback, and Trask was that consistency and that change that spirited the Gator offense as well as the defense.
I have great respect for Dan Mullen, but...
Oh, I do too.
I did not like his response to the questioner at the press conference yesterday. I think sometimes when the fans are as overheated as they are right now, just let it go. Don't make it worse. And I thought he sounded defensive about what he said. I don't know if you heard the conversation we played a couple of maybe an hour ago when he said that. I mean, the translation is basically, I listen to what people say at the staff meetings. I'm not listening to the fans or the media. And then he went farther and added a medical reference saying, I don't go down to the Shands Hospital, which is down the street from campus, and suggest how they do procedures. Well, that's what we do as fans and media. We do suggest. And he knows that, and that's why he's making the kind of money he is making.
I agree with you 100%, and I just think when you have a young man that's 6'4", 240 pounds, Paul, and he's doing backflips in the middle of warm-ups, you can see that this is just sometimes – he looked like a man among boys in the first two games when he had those plays. I don't know if you agree with me there, but he looked just phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean,
he's strong runner.
I mean, I don't know everything the staff knows, but I do know what friends of mine have told me. You heard Tim Tebow talk about Richardson two straight weeks on this program.
Yeah.
And I trust Tim knows what's going on at Florida. And I've never seen Tim so excited about a player.
Well, he's got his number. That must be a reason.
Yeah. Which makes me wonder, why was that number not retired?
That's what I thought. I looked at it and I said, well, maybe he thought this kid was – thinks he has something very special.
I don't know what the rules are at UF, but I can think of three numbers that should have been retired: Werfel, Spurrier, and Tebow. But when I run the University of Florida, I will make sure those numbers are retired.
Well, I'll support you on that. One last question, Paul.
Sure, John.
I heard you make a reference today about USC. Since I live in California, you got to hear all the room that's going on here. I've even heard that they're waiting for Meyer to fail with the Jaguars to bring him, which is crazy. I don't think Meyer's going to leave.
Let me assure you, they will not have to wait long if they're waiting for Urban Meyer to fail in Jacksonville.
Well, I think from the first game, I think they're going to have a rough year. It's not easy. It's not a jump.
John, I believe that Urban Meyer is not getting that job because I've heard that the president at SC does not want Urban Meyer around based on his handling of the Zach Smith situation at Ohio State. And frankly, I don't blame her.
Yeah, I agree. Franklin, I saw you mention Franklin. He would be a good candidate.
Yeah, I mean, what we're doing right now, John, is we're throwing names out there. I mean, I was on earlier, as you mentioned. I have no earthly idea whether James Franklin's going to get that job, but I do know that James Franklin is capable of doing a good job out there. That's all we were talking about. And
I agree.
You and your wife be well, and please stay in touch if you have time.
All right. You stay safe, Paul.
Thank you very
much. Thanks for the call.
You got it. Great to hear from you. Let's take a break. More to come after this and more guests as well.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
By now, many of you have heard and I'm sure are interested in the story about John Emery, the five-star running back at LSU, and what is exactly is going on. We learned yesterday that he has been ruled ineligible. He has hired Donald Jackson, a Montgomery, Alabama attorney, someone that our audience knows well because we've talked to Donald many times over the years. Don, great to talk to you again. Good afternoon. How are you?
Just fine, Paul. Thanks for having me. Things are going very well.
Wonderful. Don, before we get deep into this story, can you just explain your association and really maybe explain to the audience what this is all about? Because I don't understand it, and just reading the limited amount I've seen so far.
I got involved several years ago, as you're aware. I represented Christian Fulton, another player at LSU, and I was referred to the family, to John's family, by the Fulton family, I guess, by Christian Fulton's father. And I spoke with John's mother for the first time on Sunday night and formally got involved on yesterday. And it's a fairly unusual case, I guess, in a lot of respects. Essentially, he was a few hours short of continuing eligibility requirements, the NCAA continuing eligibility requirements. The university filed a waiver. The waiver was denied, and it was ultimately appealed, and they got a decision back verbally last Friday, and all of that led to yesterday. At this point, Paul, what we're attempting to do is to get additional information to supplement the information that's already been provided in hopes of trying to get the adverse decision reversed and to get him back on the field here, hopefully within the next week or so. It likely will not happen by this weekend, but the goal is, a best-case scenario, he would be eligible for the start of the SEC season.
Donald, how has this happened? Explain the details and the circumstances.
It's pretty simple. The young man has probably had, because of COVID, everyone in America has been adversely impacted. He had a death in his family, his grandmother. His stepfather contracted COVID, was hospitalized, was on a ventilator, really struggled. His mother contracted COVID, and he just had a very bad 2020-2021 academic year. So he was a little bit behind as far as continuing eligibility requirements was concerned. Once things stabilized and he got back to normal, he was an honor student during this past semester, during the summer semester. But he was still a few credit hours short as far as his ability to remain eligible for the 2021 season. And as a result of that, the NCAA didn't really look at all all of the circumstances that his family had gone through, and I'm not entirely sure that they were 100% aware of it, but the goal is over the next several days to accumulate information to make them aware of it. And frankly, if the decision to declare him ineligible remains intact, it would be one of the most troublesome eligibility decisions that I've ever seen. Because this is a young man that's done everything right. And the only reason that he was not able to meet eligibility requirements for the summer was because of the fact that there was a limit to the number of credit hours that he could take during the summer semester. So essentially what we're attempting to do, Paul, is to contextualize all of the things that have happened and to request a reconsideration and to try to have him declared immediately eligible for the 2021 season.
Don, is your concern here with the school or the NCAA?
My concern is with the NCAA's decision. The school has done everything right up to this point. No issues whatsoever with the school. The issue is there are NCAA continuing eligibility rules. All student athletes have to meet those requirements. But under certain circumstances, student athletes are afforded waivers if there are certain or mitigating circumstances that prevented him from meeting those requirements. It's our position that there are extreme circumstances here that would warrant the young man being immediately eligible. And then after all of the things that I've told you, with the recent Hurricane Ida, the family was flooded out of their homes. I mean, this has been probably the worst set of circumstances that I've seen one student athlete go through in a scenario like this and have his eligibility denied. So it's our hope that common sense will set in here. And that he'll be declared eligible, because otherwise, as I mentioned, as I said to a reporter earlier today, if he's not, and they're aware of these circumstances, the decision to take his eligibility away for this year would damn near be immoral.
Let me ask you to expound on that a second, because I know you've had many battles with the NCAA, but I'm sitting here getting very angry listening to what the scenario that you have laid out. So I ask you, how can the NCAA possibly be this insensitive if what you have laid out is can be documented and presented?
Paul, that's the question that I've asked repeatedly over the last 48 hours. Since I had my initial contact with the family. We all accept and understand that there are continuing eligibility requirements and that student athletes have to meet those requirements. But over the past year and a half, since COVID, they've been more reasonable as far as granting waivers to student athletes that have been based upon COVID-related circumstances. Well, in this situation, a death of his grandmother, mother was COVID positive, stepfather on a ventilator, COVID positive. These circumstances just don't make sense. Under these circumstances, there's certainly mitigating factors here that would warrant him being eligible. And we're not talking about a scenario where it's two, three, four, five classes short of eligibility. Essentially, we're talking about one class that he could have taken had he been allowed to take, but institutionally he wasn't. That was beyond his control. He wasn't able to take that class, and as a result of that, he's being punished for it. A sanction, a punishment based upon these facts does not make sense, and it's something that's really negative as far as collegiate sports is concerned. And we're simply asking them to reevaluate this decision, put this young man on the field, and essentially utilize just a small amount of common sense here.
Don Jackson, with a final question, Don, and you may not be able to answer this, but we all understand you are his representative and certainly respect your point of view. But considering what you have laid out for us, and I've known you 25 years,
sure.
And I say that with tremendous respect for what you've done and the legacy that you have left in this field, why hasn't his head coach stood up behind a microphone and said similar things that you have just told us here on this program?
Well, coaches are in an unfortunate situation. There are limits to what they can and can't say. We're talking about medical issues. HIPAA won't allow them to comment about that. If we're talking about academic situations, there are limitations on the things that a head coach or representative of the institution can say. But all of these things have been publicly documented. There are articles all over the internet about his stepfather. There's information about all over the place about his grandmother's death, and I simply think they have operated based on assumption. And when I get involved in these kinds of cases, Paul, I always tell families, tell coaches, tell clients, that sometimes the NCAA is only concerned with the notion that 1 + 1 = 2, but 7 - 5, and 6 - 4, and 8 - 8. There are a lot of other ways to get to 2, and sometimes you've got to have heart and common sense to get to the appropriate conclusion here. Here, I think the decision that was made was based on the assumption that the only way to get to 2 was 1 + 1. And what we're attempting to do is to contextualize what's happened in this young man's life and give him the opportunity to get back on the field for LSU this year.
Donald Jackson, attorney, and we deeply appreciate you joining us. Don, be well. Let's catch up soon and see where we are here.
Thank you. Have a good day, Paul.
Thank you very much. The case of John Emery. We will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. John Talty joining us in the next hour. Conversation previously with Don Jackson. And how about some comic relief?
Please.
Joe is up next from Red Bay, Alabama.
Roll Tide, roll, Paul.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, I'm sorry I ain't got with you the last couple weeks. But,
hey,
you know,
hey, by
I've
the way,
been...
Joe, remember a couple weeks ago you talked about Alabama's toughest opponent? Didn't you say Arkansas?
That's right. I said the weakest would be A&M and the toughest would be Arkansas. And you know what I got from that one?
What's that?
Ha, 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 ha. But you know what? Arkansas didn't yabba-dabba-do. They yabba-dabba-dee.
Hey, Joe, just can you be fair? You got a bunch of what?
I'm full of happiness. I mean, a bunch of football.
I was just trying to remember how many ha. You said ha, ha, ha. I was trying to count the ha, ha's in there. How many was that again?
It was. Let me see if I can replay it. Ha, 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 ha. 1, 2, 3, 5 ha, ha.
Okay. I just want to make sure. I'm a stickler for stuff like that.
Hey, I look like a genius today, don't I?
You are a genius, Joe.
I mean, it looks
okay,
like...
Okay, Joe, we'll do this again. Can we get the Alabama schedule back on the screen here? I want to go through it game by game. I mean, forget the Bear on game day and Corso and... I want Joe is my new guide. Okay, next, I'm just going to give you the game and you give me an opinion, okay?
Okay, we got it. Let's go.
This Saturday at Florida.
We are going to whoop Florida so bad. You know what we did this past Saturday? We didn't show our card. We didn't show our hands because we got bigger.
Okay, let's go ahead and say Southern Miss will be a win. Ole Miss at home October 2nd.
We're going to smoke them. We're going to smoke them. I figure we'll get at least four picks.
Okay, Matt Corral.
We're going to intercept Matt Corral four times.
Okay, just need a couple of words. I don't need a book here. October 9th at Texas A&M.
We'll 60 to nothing.
Okay. Asked and answered. At Mississippi State, Cowbells.
They'll ring the cowbell, but they ain't going to ring long. I'll just put it like that. They ain't going to be ringing them long.
October 23rd, homecoming against the Tennessee Volunteers.
That's going to be like a flag football game. that's nothing.
Okay, biggest game of the year usually, or one of the biggest games, November 6th, LSU at home.
I may grill me out. I ain't never did it, but I might grill out some corn dogs for that game.
Grilled corn dogs sound really delectable.
State,
we'll move on from that. You've already talked about Arkansas, so let's end the season. This is a tough game. I think Alabama's lost the last two games at Jordan-Hare Stadium. November 27th at Auburn.
Hey, we won't be practicing this game. This is going to be a tune-up game to get ready to play. I thought it might be Missouri, but, you know, Kentucky beat them. But so it might, you know, that's a tune-up game before we play Kentucky. But, you know, the Barners ain't going to be nothing. I mean, right now they're playing, you know, they look good, but, I mean, they
ain't. Hold on a second, Joe. You're predicting Kentucky to beat Georgia and win the SEC East?
Kentucky's going to beat Georgia. Missouri's going to beat them, too. Florida's going to beat Georgia.
Three losses for the Dogs?
They're going to go 8-4. I think even the Barners will beat Georgia.
Okay, hold on a second. You've given me another idea here, Joe. Georgia's schedule, South Carolina, win or loss?
That's a loss. I forgot about that one.
Okay, at Vanderbilt, win. Arkansas?
That's a loss.
At
that's
Auburn?
Two losses. Loss.
Okay, so that's one, two, that's three losses so far. Kentucky, loss.
Loss.
Florida?
Loss.
Missouri?
Loss.
At Tennessee?
They'll win that one.
Okay, Charleston Southern and Georgia Tech. So how many, guys, how many get? We had one.
6-6.
Okay, so Georgia goes 6-6.
Yeah, they may be in the Music City Bowl or something.
Thanks, Joe. I think there's only one way to follow that call up, guys. Let's double down on intelligence. Bama Nick is next.
Oh, Paul Feinbaum, I tried to tell Daddy Brown, put me on that when I was listening to that moron talk. Jesus Christ, they wouldn't put me on there with him, and I would tell you he's an idiot.
You just called Joe from Red Bay a moron?
He's a moron. Else, in fact, Paul, you remember last time I talked to you? It's been about a month ago, I think, the last time I called in. But I made a list of all the, when I told you, you know, everybody, the calls of morons you got. Well, I made a list.
Who are the worst morons on the show?
All right, I'm going to tell you. And then I'll tell you the great callers.
Okay, give me the morons first.
Well, Corky, the one you had on today, is an idiot. And John from Louisville, Pat from Georgia, Dan, you know, Dan from Louisiana Dan.
I agree with you on that one.
And then Matt from San Antonio. And then I added this one here today, Joe from Red Bay.
Biggest morons on this program. One more hour right here.